Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mindful Chef. Chef Leisha Barnett here today, and I have a special guest with me on this edition. It is Tamira Currington of Vegan Soul Sisters. Say hello, Tamira.
Hey.
Thank you for coming along the show and talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
We got a lot to talk about today, so let's get all the way into it. All right, Tamira is my cousin, everybody, my real life family. So I decided to bring her on to the podcast because she is doing some wonderful things in the world of food and health and wellness. And today is just the best time for us to discuss it all. So outside of being my cousin, can you tell everybody who is listening who Tamira Currington is?
Well, let me see here. I am 42 and a Capricorn. No, okay, I'm just kidding. I'm single. No, I'm just okay. I'm done. I am born and raised in the Bay Area, but I'm currently residing in Atlanta. I am the mother of two wonderful young adults and four grandchildren. Lord, help me. I am just out here trying to figure out the health and wellness journey and bring a bunch of folks along with me. I don't know, I think I'm doing a pretty good job at it so far, and I'm excited to see what the future holds. That's the gist of who I am at this moment.
Yes, well, you took it modestly. We're going to get into some details in a minute, but yeah, that was your modest introduction, because anybody who listens to me knows that I don't hang out with folks who aren't doing some really magical things. So I'm glad to have you on here so we can tell the world just what Tamira Currington is doing with Vegan Soul Sisters. Mm-hmm. So in case you guys aren't aware, she is the founder of Vegan Soul Sisters, which happens to be, correct me if I'm wrong, the largest Facebook space for vegan Black women.
It is the largest Facebook space for vegan Black women.
How many people are in your group, Tamira?
There are 45,262-ish.
Can we say that again? There are over 45,000 Black and brown women in Vegan Soul Sisters.
There are. That is super exciting. And for me, the most exciting part is when I created the group 2 years ago, I literally didn't imagine that there would be more than a couple hundred. Like, if you would have asked 2 years ago Tamira if she would see herself here, I never would have said yes. I did not anticipate that this would be such a large deal. But I'm grateful that it is. And it really speaks to where we are as women of color as it pertains to health and wellness. And that part is super exciting to me.
Well, yeah. I think that there is this misconception that Black people aren't vegan. And
right.
And that it is a strange thing. It's a white thing. It's all these other things. And that could not be further from the truth. In fact, I would have to say the people that I have come across in my life, the majority of vegans that I've met personally and known have been Black. So that's really interesting that the world still thinks that there aren't any Black vegans.
it is very interesting. And the most interesting thing about that is there's literally, there were always Black vegans to begin with. But in addition to just how popular eating whole food, plant-based, or eating vegan has become, there's really kind of this exodus taking place with people of color. Moving from the traditional SAD diet to a more plant-based diet. And I think that, you know, maybe at some point, because we didn't necessarily understand veganism, or we didn't understand how eating whole food plant-based could the ability that it had for our health and wellness. And so I think that the numbers were kind of upside down at some point, but it's been a while, and we definitely are standing up and representing. And so I hope that people are taking notice of that, because we are kind of killing the game right now as it pertains to eating whole food plant-based.
Yes, we are. So I'm really excited to get deeper into the conversation about vegan soul sisters. But before we do, whenever I have a guest on the show, we have to talk about food, of course, but their start in food, like their starting point and what got them interested in health and wellness. So I have just a couple of questions to ask you to see where your starting point was, so that people can get to know a little bit more about the mind of Tamir Carrington.
Okie dokie.
All right. What is your favorite food?
Still to date, since I was a little girl, in the wee hours. Okay, no. So I'm from California. I'm a Cali girl, and you know, we're right on the border of Mexico, and we honorary Mexican. Now, with that being said, tacos, burritos, anything with an O in it, that you know, that's my
nachos.
Favorite. Nachos, right? Anything with an O. That's my favorite.
I know that's a really difficult question for a lot of people to answer, particularly foodies, because we're always like, well, today I like this, next week I might like this. But right. For us Cali girls, it's pretty consistent as far as like the Mexican, Salvadorian, all of those different foods. It's like, wrap it in a tortilla and we're good.
Exactly. Call me anytime. So
right.
That's an easy one. And I mean, and I legitimately like a whole bunch of food, but you know, if there's a food that I could eat, I think when my children were young, I burnt them out on tacos. Not I think, I know, because I remember saying, I am not eating another taco, Mom, because it was quick and, you know, it was affordable and it was also my favorite. So, yeah, we ate a lot of tacos.
Yes, yes, yes. Taco Nation over here. It's really a thing, to the point to where like I had friends who came from out of state and were like, okay, where are the tacos at? Because I know that's what, and they're like, what do you eat? And I was like, tacos. And she was like every day, like almost, yeah. You know, if I don't make my lunch, I mean, $3 at a truck and you're good. So
yes. And you know what? Thing is, the most challenging thing for me when I moved from California to Atlanta, and just, I guess we can charge it to my naivete, it's not the same. Like,
no.
Mexican taco, Salvadorian taco, it's not the same as the Mexican taco.
No. So
I was going and I was like expecting a certain experience, and for my first 2, maybe 3 years here, I was so sad. I couldn't find the flavor I was looking for.
Yes.
So yeah, I would be able to find that. So yeah.
Well, I had that similar experience when I moved to Maryland for a few years. And you know, you don't think in terms of geography when you are literally just wanting a particular thing on your plate.
Right.
So it wasn't until I had been there for probably 6 months that it really dawned on me. I was like, the actual Mexican population in my county is like nil. So why am I expecting California Mexican? You know, I found myself eating at chain restaurants just to get something close.
Right.
And it was just incredibly sad because I couldn't find a taco truck anywhere. And then when I did go to a place that considered, that, you know, that built themselves as an authentic Mexican cuisine restaurant, the only good thing there were the margaritas. It was just really sad.
That's my experience. Oh my goodness. It was rough. But you have to be from California to really understand the taco obsession. It was rough. Yeah, so
very rough. I mean, but I discovered other types of cuisines while I was there. They were all very meat heavy, so it wasn't something I really particularly enjoyed, because even as somebody who isn't vegan or vegetarian, I don't like that much meat. And yet there had like the steakhouses where they were Peruvian Brazilian and the Dominican food, all of the stuff that in the Puerto Rican food that was very meat heavy. I had to find some workarounds. You know, beans and rice goes a long way, but you know, if you put a lot of meat in it, then it kind of doesn't do it for me. So,
right.
So that was rough, but thankfully I'm back in California with the land of the tacos, and I don't have anything to worry about anymore.
Nice.
So, do you like to cook, Tamir? What is something that you really enjoy making?
Tacos. It's a joke, but it's kind of not a joke. That is still legitimately like my favorite thing to prepare. One of the most interesting things in transitioning to eating whole food plant-based was, or vegan either, or because I probably alternate between the two, but was figuring out how to veganize my favorite meals. And not feel like I was missing anything. And so I do really enjoy preparing Mexican food. And it's one of the things that when I'm talking to people about transitioning, I push, because it's really, really easy to veganize Mexican food. But probably my favorite thing to cook right now is my faux fish made from eggplant. It is so good and really, really quick and easy to prepare. And it's still fried food, so it's probably, you know, not necessarily the greatest, but it's very tasty. So that's one of my favorites right now.
Good. I do agree with you. I feel like Mexican food, and particularly different types of Asian foods, Middle Eastern, those are all very easy to make hearty meals without relying on animals. And because you can just infuse so much flavor. There's so many good ways to do it.
Yes, and Indian food, that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Those are foods I suggest, not just in preparation, but you know, we are a society that is always on the go these days, so people do eat out a lot more than traditionally we did when we were growing up. And so those are always great go-tos when you just want to grab something and you want to take the guesswork out of whether or not there's meat in something. And you can kind of build it, you know, the way you want to. So
right. So what is a positive food memory that you have that you want to share? Something that makes you feel good when you talk and think about food?
I would probably have to say it was the first time a few years ago I went to a vegan Chinese restaurant. It's run by by Buddhists.
Mm-hmm.
They do some really great things with seitan, which is a wheat gluten that is made to give the idea of meat. And so
not to be confused with Satan. Like,
no.
The Lord of the Underworld. We talk about seitan.
Satan is behind me, devil. No. Not Satan. Not S-A-T-A-N. We not dancing with the devil, y'all. No, Satan. S-E-I-T-A-N. Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's made out of vital wheat gluten. And I had beef broccoli, quote unquote. And I had been vegan, I think, for 3 months at that point, and I was ready to cuss the chef out because I was convinced that they had given me meat. Because it texture wise, flavor wise, like everything was completely on point. And I was convinced it was meat. And since then, I'd taken many meat eaters back to that same restaurant, and they too were convinced. So that was probably one of my happiest moments, where I realized, you know, when you transition or when you're you know, moving from one thing to another, you still are looking for that level of comfort and familiarity.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to know that I don't have to miss things that, you know, that I was used to, because I didn't necessarily transition because I don't want to say I don't care about animals, because I do, but that wasn't my why.
Yeah.
My why was my health. And so I still liked what I liked, you know? And so it was nice to be able to see that I didn't have to miss out on things. So that was definitely my happy food moment.
That sounds really good. And I have also had really great experiences with restaurants like that. But I found that they're more plentiful on the East Coast than they are here. We have, maybe in my region right now where I live, because if I did a Google search right now of a vegan restaurant in particular, there would be one that pops up, which is the closest one is probably 30 minutes away, and then another one that pops up another 15 minutes out. So it's a little disappointing when people here, you know, want to try a plant-based diet and they have to go through the workarounds.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I did notice that when I came home, that and I will say that being in Atlanta, the scene is exploding with vegan opportunities and possibilities, and I kind of expected it to be a little bit more like that in the Bay Area. And while there are some really awesome vegan restaurants that I did have the opportunity to visit, in comparison, there aren't as many.
Right. It just feels like they're heavily concentrated in certain areas, and then there's nothing in between.
Right.
And that is one of the challenges of somebody who even is just vegetable friendly, in the sense, like, you know, you want to go and grab something where there was thought put into the actual vegetables before you ate it, and not something that they just steamed and threw on the plate and was like, oh, you wanted the vegan special? Here you go.
Right. Right.
Right. Like, no love put in it whatsoever. And one of the cool things about what's happening in the city now is we have a kitchen incubator project that has turned out 5 new food-based businesses, and 2 of them are vegan and vegetarian. So I had a chance to meet them and talk with them about what their vision was, and it was exciting to see that the city was getting these 2 bright new stars who would be able to bring to us some of the things that we're looking for on a daily basis. Because if I eat one more fried, dipped in something thing in order to have a vegetable that is not a salad, defeats the purpose. Just, you know, flavor the green beans already. You don't have to fry them. Just cook them with some garlic or something.
Some garlic.
You know,
yes. You don't have to add nothing else, to be honest. Give me like 6 cloves of garlic and we're good.
Right. A little Himalayan salt and we're on track. We are on track.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a real quick break. And thank you for introducing yourself. And we got into some of those personal questions that hopefully everybody is excited to know more about who Tamira is. And we're going to come back and dig into Vegan Soul Sisters. So if you are curious about this world on Facebook where there's all this Black girl magic happening, then you want to stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, we are back with Tamira Carrington of Vegan Soul Sisters. In the first half, you got to meet her and hear about her food preferences, what she likes to cook, and all that fun stuff. But now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of Vegan Soul Sisters. So let's get it going, girl. Tell us what the concept is, how and why you started Vegan Soul Sisters, and what you see it looking like in the future.
Well, quickly and briefly, I started Vegan Soul Sisters 2 years ago in response to some health conditions that my daughter had. She was diagnosed and developed congestive heart failure as a result of pregnancy. And, you know, interestingly enough, I've had the opportunity to speak a lot about my initial why. And I found myself saying, you know, am I beating a dead horse with this story? And, you know, because there's so much more to Vegan Soul Sisters now. However, I cannot deviate from that story simply because the way that she developed congestive heart failure is actually far more rampant and prevalent with women than we know, because it's misdiagnosed. And so part of what I'd like to do, and I won't spend a whole lot of time talking about this, is kind of begin to start the conversations with the those in healthcare about what to look for, so that we can stop losing women to something that is treatable.
Right.
And so my daughter was fortunate in that she, you know, had to have a cesarean section, so her heart didn't necessarily have to do as much work. So we didn't lose her on the table, but we lose a lot of women on the table.
Right.
Because it's not diagnosed. And it's, you know, it's not, I don't want to say that it's even necessarily the fault of the health professional, because a lot of the symptoms do mimic other things. But when you put them all together, then you have a complete story. And so I'm excited about putting together a plan that puts me in the faces of the right people, encouraging them to connect the pieces a little bit more often. But I digress. So that is why I started the group. It was in response to that, and I did some research and found out that whole food plant-based was good for the heart, and so we transitioned. And I was like, well, you know, I was in a couple of other Facebook groups, and I was like, well, I got a lot of gas. And that transitioning gas is something else, child.
It's girl.
It's a whole person by itself. So I was like, I want to talk about that. Like, I want to talk about how this feels. And then I was having some, you know, some changes with my lady parts. And I wanted to talk about those things too. Positive changes, let me say. I wanted to talk about that too. And so I was just like, I want a space that's just for women. Now, I don't know why I didn't think to find the space, because it existed. My first thought was, I'm just going to create it. So I did. And I stole a few members from a few on Facebook. I actually recently got blocked from a group because somebody went all the way back and noticed that I was stealing folks from 2 years ago. And so, yeah, anyway, it's rough in the Facebook streets.
It's too funny.
So, yeah, I'm like legitimately blocked. I was looking for the group like, okay.
Somebody got in their feelings, I see.
Right, so that's how we moving. All right. So I grabbed a few people from here or there, and I didn't think, like I said before, I didn't think there'd be more than a couple hundred. And then I looked up like 3 months later, and there was like 10,000. And I was like,
I remember when you started it too, and it was just this little thing, and it was like, oh, look, my cousin's got a group. And then it was like, wow, all of these people are here. And it was, it still is a fantastic space, because it's one of the few places. I'm a member of so many food-based groups on Facebook in particular, and then following accounts on other social media platforms. VSS is the only space where I feel like I could take my bra off, let my hair down, and put my feet up, and the women in there get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that space for that. And I think that's why it's grown so much, because the other groups are a little too much with the dogma, and you come in there and you're like, this is a positive space, and we're going to maintain this positivity throughout this group. We're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy each other. And it's really, really just a comfort zone.
And it's nice to hear that, because I think when I was creating the group 2 years ago, that was my thought, that I wanted a space where women could come in and get naked. Because we don't have the opportunity to do that a lot, and particularly women in general, but also particularly women of color. We're always on, always making power moves, always doing something.
The code switching. Oh, it's so exhausting.
Exactly. And so when I thought about the group, I thought about our favorite show, How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes.
I thought about that, the beginning and the first episode when she took her wig off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this really freeing moment as a woman of color, because we don't really see that. And so that was my idea for the group, that I want us to be able to come in here bald headed, edges missing, toenails needing to be painted and done, but not be judged for being in our natural state and being able to feel comfortable enough to stand in that space. And so, you know, it's hard to maintain that, in all honesty, the larger the group gets, you know, because it kind of get away from you. I will say that my admin team and myself, we do a pretty good job at maintaining that energy. And I have to agree that I think that's one of the reasons why the group grew and continues to grow, because we still average 100 members a day, and that's 100 members a day being picky.
Like, right. That's not just opening the floodgates and allowing everyone in.
Right.
It sounds like that 100 per day is actual thoughtful. Let me check out this profile, see if this person is a fit for the group type of mindset.
Yes, because there's over 200 requests in there right now, and more than half of them won't make it in. And I say that to say that 45,000, it really, the numbers could be double if it wasn't about quality. You know, for me, it's quality over quantity. And so,
so explain a little bit about what you mean as far as that's concerned. I think I have an idea, but I'd like to hear from your mouth to the listeners about what that looks like and why it's important for the sake of quality and of the group that you do things that way.
So, you know, I could easily after we're done, I could go in there and I could hit accept all to everyone who has requested to join the group. And I will more than likely lose the integrity of the group, because there are people who are coming in who they're just nosy. They're just curious, but not curious enough that they want to make the change for themselves. There are people who are looking to gain something from it. So maybe they just want to spam the group page with, you know, their business stuff. There are people who we have those really hardcore, you know, just hard in the paint vegan who will challenge you to a duel to the
death.
And I don't want any of that. The thing is that I wanted this space to be open to people who aren't sure. you know, they've maybe watched a documentary or two, maybe their cousin or their auntie is plant-based, and you know, in response to some health condition, and they've gotten good results from it, and you know, maybe they have their own health conditions that they're concerned about, and they're curious, and they join these other vegan groups, and they have been shot to death with the, oh my God, why are you eating that? Oh my God, that's not good. Oh my God.
I experienced that in other spaces too. And it was really, you know, because I decided to, you know, give this a shot. Let me give it a go. Like, what harm could be done from eating more vegetables? And I found myself in one group in particular that just, it deflated me. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I wasn't making it. Like, even the smallest accomplishment that I made wasn't enough for them. I may as well had, you know, had chicken nuggets because I, you know, made one decision. I had an egg roll. It was vegetable egg roll, and it was like, oh, you know, they use egg to bind the wrapper to the, you know, when they folded it. I'm like, okay. There was vegetables in my egg roll instead of chicken, and I got a stir fry. It was just like nothing was ever good enough. The baby steps were just that, and I wanted to celebrate the choices that I had made along the way that were better for me, even if it meant that I didn't fall into a particular category. So that was rough, and VSS does a really good job. You and the admins, you guys remind, you know, everybody in the group that you don't follow an ideology, that this is a place for everybody. And that's really, really special.
And it's your own personal journey. and it's going to look different for everyone. Excuse me. So there's some people who, you know, they don't eat animals because they love the animals. You know, it's an ethical decision for them. And then there are those of us who have done it for health reasons. My idea is that we coexist on the same plane together. Because the reality is, even if you start out because of health conditions, at some point, the more you continue, the more compassion you begin to have. It just happens. Mm-hmm. But if we coexist in the same plane, we can learn from one another. Maybe it was last year sometime, like I had to, and I thought about it the other day, we literally killed the Sebi cult. And I'm calling it that because certain people seem to have a cult aspect to the way that mm-hmm. they talk about Dr. Sebi.
Right.
Fact. Because he did do some great things, and there's some of his teachings are worth following. But there was a point where it felt like, you know, they would come out of the woodworks and it's like, that's not Sebi approved. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. So I had to literally like turn off posting in the group. I was threatening people, and I said, listen.
Girl, I remember that. Let me tell you, I just didn't, you know, and it was so hard because I understand the passion that people have for health and wellness is so personal, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, so many people make changes because they got bad news. Rarely do we ever make certain changes because everything was just going fine, right? Like, we got to do something because the world is falling apart. And that lands us in these particular spaces where, you know, some people are hardcore, all or nothing type of people. Some people could eat three things every single day and be satisfied. But the majority of us don't fall into that all or nothing space.
Right.
You know, and then like on top of it, some of the reasons why they wouldn't eat a thing or would eat a thing just scientifically didn't make sense. So that was something I found. And it wasn't just with those group of followers. It was definitely like other people in the group. It's really hard out here in the Google era where everything is at our fingertips, because we can legitimately search for just about any information we want, right?
Right.
And get any type of results. And people do a really great job of making themselves look like experts in fields that they have no business being in.
Right.
So we have diet culture is like out there. It's fierce. It's rough. It's hard. And it is pushing people into particular habits that just don't serve folks well. And meanwhile, we're all crying and feeling awful on the inside about how to change our lives because we're trying to do this thing. And then, you know, next week there's another book being put out that the diet that you've been following for the last 6 months is trash.
Right. It's exhausting. It's really hard to keep up with. Like, it's super hard to keep up with if you're following diet culture. So that's why I really try to say in the group, and why, and one of the reasons why I had to kill all of the Sebi talk in the group, not because I don't support them, because they, I do. I support them as much as I support the person who's in the group that still eats chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I support everyone on the level that they're on, but what tends to happen with, and I think it's just human nature, we feel like our way is the right way. Our way is the best way. And,
yeah.
You know, but it's off-putting and can be quite condescending. And so I try to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I remind folks, my favorite saying is the or plate.
Yes.
I use another word in the middle of that, but mind your plate. You know, let's give the information that's important for us to have. Let's share wisdom. Let's share solid wisdom, not
right.
Wisdom. I'm an auntie, cousin, sister, brother-in-law on your daddy's side told you about something, but something that you can put your hands on. Let's share that information, and not in a know-it-all, you need to know this because you don't know this type of way, but here, sis, this is some information that might help you along your journey. Do with
right.
it, please. And so that is the energy that I try to cultivate and keep moving within our community on Facebook.
So what do you see as the future of VSS? I mean, the group is fantastic. It's huge. It's a whole movement. There are different things that are happening within the group. I love how we have a self-promotion day where everybody can come and let the group know what their businesses are and things like that. It just sounds like it's more than about food. Like, there's this community that's happening. So are there any outside of Facebook things happening with VSS that we can look forward to seeing in the future?
Absolutely. And so yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because that was also something that was important to me when in creating the group, was that I wanted it to have a village feel. I wanted us to be able to come and discuss more than just food, because, you know, my idea is total wellness, and you kind of have to address mind, body, and spirit to get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we do. We have the self-promotions, and then we have Wellness Wednesday vent sessions. So there's a post where people can come in and vent about things going on in their world. And I've been told, or I've seen it posted many, many times, that for some women, that's literally the only space that they have to get things off of their chest.
Wow.
And that's a great statement.
It's powerful. Yeah.
That at the same time. But I'm grateful to be able to provide that space for someone. And then on Saturdays we focus on self-care and making sure that you take some time out to do for yourself, because we as working women and mothers and wives, we neglect to do that sometimes. So what I do have coming up, I'm really excited about. In May, on the 23rd, I am putting on my very first wellness festival called
Calling
and Cornbread, a soulful wellness experience. And you can look forward to all things health and wellness. Everything may not necessarily, now there will be no animal flesh on site, but everything that is learned during that day may not necessarily be all about being vegan, because I want to be realistic in the fact that everyone is not vegan, everyone is not interested in being vegan, and everybody can't be vegan, because it just doesn't work for everyone. What my goal is to provide people with the information that they need to make the best nutritional decisions for themselves.
I am so excited about this event. Oh my goodness. And just hearing you describe it, because, well, for one, I'm going to be there.
Yes!
I get to see you again, cousin. Okay, so I will be there with you, but I think what you just said is so important about having that space where even if you have not given yourself a title for the way that you choose to eat and live your lifestyle, because there are two different things, and we can either do a whole nother podcast on that or get into it today. But, you know, the difference between being vegan and eating a plant-based diet, that's different. But for people who are just curious, I've gone to festivals, fairs, and things like that, Earth Day things, where the focus is veganism, and never felt welcome in that space. There were a lot of things that I felt were triggering, that people were trying to utilize this like shock factor in order to get people to change their minds. So we're talking about imagery of slaughterhouses, tactics, which to me like reeks of the protesters at the Planned Parenthood with the photos of aborted fetuses, or so they think, you know. I mean, it just is, it's predatory behavior. And what I like about the Soulful event that is happening with VSS is that it is an affirming space for people, and it is a way for us to, let's get information on how to be well.
Right.
Let's be well, let's take this info, and let's have a good time while we're there, and let's not obsess over whether or not you're gonna put meat on your plate when you leave the event, but let's give you the tools for your success. And I'm really excited to be a part of that.
Yay. I am so excited about this event. I'm in the middle of signing some contracts, so I cannot say the name of guests that will be there, but I have had the opportunity to communicate with some well-known people within the vegan community, and folks are going to be pretty excited, because I know I'm super excited, and you're going to be there, Em.
Yes, listen, I'm just to share the space with the people that you are in contract with would be amazing. But getting out there and talking to the people, like, I live for that. Let me just do my extrovert thing and be out there with the people.
Yes, that's the funny thing is, I'm not even an extrovert. So the fact that like I'm doing this is really interesting, because I'm really an introvert with extrovert tendencies. But I pass. But I'm so excited. The day is going to be jam-packed. The event is in Decatur, Georgia, at a marvelously beautiful space, the Aztec Warrior Studio. It's going to be from 11:30 to 5 p.m. And I don't know, I'm going back and forth between some type of nighttime event potentially. For the grown folks.
Yes, for the grown folks. Because the event is family friendly, right?
The event is family friendly. Yes, it is. And we're still looking for vendors. So I've got space for at least 50, but can take more. And so anyone who might be interested that, you know, is in health and wellness, has some skincare products, some organic, all natural, I don't know, you sell clothes,
you and your cousin and them got together and did a CD.
Bring all the people. See, this is the community stuff that we talked about. You're like, Vegan Soul Sisters is going beyond just talking about what's on your plate. We're like, let's discuss whole wellness. Let's support the local economy and the community at large. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, me too.
So how can the people find the information on the event?
So you can find the information on our Instagram page. It's Vegan Soul Sisters on Instagram. And Sisters is S-I-S-T-U-H-S. You can also find the information on our Facebook page. There's an events created, and it's the same handle, Vegan Soul Sisters. If you are a woman of color, you are welcome to join the group. We are exclusive to women of color. Women of color being anyone with melanin in their skin, so that our Latino sisters, Filipinas, all are welcome. No men whatsoever. And yeah, so that's where the information is located. And you can purchase your tickets on our website, www.vegansoulsisters.com. There's also some really awesome merchandise on the website as well.
Yes, you do have some real good swag, some merch on the website. So if you are in the market for some hoodies and t-shirts and other items, she's got you covered.
Really do. So that's and this is the first festival, but my idea is that this is going to be a city-to-city tour, and I'm already pinning California.
Tacos for everybody,
and I'm thinking Oakland because that's where I'm from. Gotta take it back to my hometown. So that will be the next stop on the circuit. So if anyone additionally is interested in having the collard greens and cornbread a soulful wellness experience in their city or state, let us know. You can message us on Facebook, and we will see how we can make it happen.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to going to Georgia and then, you know, also planning this California experience out. I think it's going to be fantastic. Us two Oakland girls coming together to put something together for the people.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited. I'm equally excited about both. I can't wait to see what happens. And sponsorship. We're looking for sponsors too, y'all.
Yes. So listen, over 40,000 women, 45 and some change in this group who are using vegan products. They are currently using vegan products. Mm-hmm. And they are posting them in the group, and they are giving their feedback. They are enjoying the products that they're trying. So if you happen to be out there listening and you're a representative for any particular vegan brand, we don't have to say them, but you know who you are. We're using them. Like, I got some in my refrigerator right now, different things. And as someone who is somewhat of a flexitarian, I enjoy many of the vegan products. So sponsorship in order to make this happen would be really amazing, to be able to tap into that resource. And I just know that after this first one is done, there will be so many more happy people and so many more folks looking at wanting to bring the soulful experience to their neighborhood. So, I mean, there's a potential there for so many dollars. So, sponsors, I hope y'all hear her.
please.
I hope you hear her. So, before we go, I just want to say thank you Tamir, cousin, I love you. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited for VSS and our partnership in the future and now. What do you have to say for your final words before we go?
First of all, thank you for having me. This has been, you know, I didn't get very much sleep last night, so I was worried. This has been very exciting, and I really appreciate it, and I love you back. In closing, I just want to remind everyone to do what works for them. This, whatever it is, it's your journey. You tailor it to yourself and be kind to yourself. Be mindful of the words that you speak over yourself. I don't believe in failures. I just believe in growth. But so often we tell ourselves that if we make a misstep or, you know, if something doesn't go as planned, that we failed or we've done something wrong. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other. And mind your own damn plate.
Yes! Mind your plate! Thank you so much again, Tamira. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure that you check her out on Facebook and Instagram and at the website. And she already told you how to spell it. It's Sistuhs, S-I-S-T-U-H-S. Okay, so thank you. Find her, follow her. Let's get these events up and running and popping for the culture. Okay? Yeah. Until next time, this has been the Mindful Chef. I'll holla.
Hey.